Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rev up those fryers, because I am sure hungry for one...
Greg Hill Show.
Broadcasting from beautiful and safe Brighton, Massachusetts.
Woo! It's go, 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 go time.
This is...
Who are you? I'm Al Craig. Pleased to meet you.
The Greg Hill Morning Show.
Tick, tick, boom.
Now...
Let's get down to business.
It's time to party!
It's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show.
Morning.
Good hello, morning, everybody.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Good morning, my neighbor.
On Boston Sports Original.
W-E-E-I. Got my people.
W-E-E-I.
When I say Greg Hill and you say show, Greg Hill. Greg Hill.
Show.
Greg Hill.
Show.
All right.
Woo! It's go, 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 go time.
Let the games begin.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Tick, tick, boom.
All right, welcome back. It's Monday, the Greg Hill Show. Most of the cast is out today, but the one, Jermaine Wiggy Wiggins, doesn't take a break. You're in here for the last Mayo Monday.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, normally when I'm in with Coco, it's Wiggy and the woman, so I guess it's Wiggy and the other woman.
Oh, yeah, that's a little edgy.
That is a little, you know, that's a little edgy. Hot.
That's all right. It's like Wiggy and the side piece.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with that. How you doing? How was it Christmas we just had? So how was your Christmas?
Yeah, I'm like, what day is it? Yeah. Especially with the Patriots game on Saturday.
Yeah, yeah, that one.
I'm like, I sat there. I'm like, we got so much football yesterday. We got Celtics yesterday. I still haven't recovered from the Saturday game and the feelings of grossness around which we're going to get into. We've got today's show. We got Leeds at 6:30. We got They Said It at 7. We will be joined in studio here at Gillette Stadium by Patriots head coach Gerard Mayo later in the show. So must listen interview, must watch interview if you want to find us on Twitch, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI if you want to join in on the show today in this lovely vacation stretch for everybody else. It's 617-779-7937. Yeah, I went down to D.C. for Christmas.
Okay.
So I drove back, little go-go Christmas. D.C., I got to say, I'm sorry, but like D.C., the vibes right now are immaculate.
Oh, man, I know
immaculate.
They're
loving it. Jaden Daniels taking us into the playoffs.
Yeah.
I say us because now I'm part of the Commanders.
A couple dudes I went to school with are from the D.C. area, and I know they're big Washington Commanders fans, and so I know that whole area, that whole DMV area, has got to be feeling pretty good with everything that's going down with that football team.
Yeah, we've had a lot of fun games over the weekend in terms of quarterback matchups. And I think in watching last night, especially the first quarter, you see Daniels versus Penix.
Right.
And I'm just kind of like of the mind. I think that because they spent Atlanta spent so much money on Kirk Cousins, they wanted to hang on and make it work as long
Stupid.
As possible. But with Penix, it's like, all right, so he's getting a couple of games of experience this late in the season, which is fine, but y'all should have thrown him in there like 4 weeks ago,
like what
three
could
or
their,
4 weeks
what
ago.
What could their team look like? And this is the thing that we've kind of, you know, we've always talked about with Mayo, and we've, you know, and I've been, Shime and I especially been kind of preaching this since day one. Like, when you're a team who's drafting in the top 10, because I think Atlanta was 8 overall, but what's the downside of playing? Like, this whole thing, you're going to ruin a guy, I think it's so stupid, because look at the success that Jaden Daniels is having from being the, you know, when he got there, he was like the week one starter. You know, I know the Broncos didn't win, but look at what their team has looked like when Bo Nix got there and he was the week one starter. We obviously, you know, the success isn't great in Chicago, but it's just the learning experience. The same way you look at Drake May, the same way I with Atlanta, like, go, you draft these guys, why not play them in week one? And granted, your season might not go the way you want it to go, but at least you'll be able to see how this guy progresses throughout the season, and he'll be able to get his feet wet, and then, you know, like, okay, here's what you need to do going into next year. So I think it was a dumb move by Atlanta. When they got Kirk Cousins, I thought it was a dumb move to then draft Michael Penix.
Now it feels like it's reverse engineering, though, doesn't
it?
It's like, why did you get Kirk Cousins when you thought that you could have Michael Penix?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you spend that free agency money on anything else to firm up this team and basically do what the Broncos, what the Commanders are doing with their teams? And just, like, commit to the guy. Especially somebody like Penix, who's on the older side. It's not like he's J.J. McCarthy or Drake May in terms of his age.
But nowadays, you know, you look at what all these, which is horrible in college football. It's like, you got these COVID guys, now you got these JUCO guys.
Yeah, when are we getting out of that?
I don't know. It's the NCAA, and this whole college football thing is crazy. It's like, 5 years, that's all you got. You can play 5 years, and that's kind of like the new rule they're looking at, but it's dumb. And when you look at the Patriots, you look at, other than really Drake May and kind of what he's been able to do while he's played, you're like, all right, that's why you drafted this guy, what you're seeing from this guy. Now, granted, your team is, oh, my God.
Do you want to get right into it? I was going to ask you how your Christmas was.
No.
You had a good Christmas?
Yeah, my Christmas is great. You know, my kids are all older, so it's all about money with them.
Do they all come to Boston now?
Yeah, they all, you know, my kids go to school at UMass, so they come home, and then they're home for their break for football. And my daughter, her and her fiancé came over. So, yeah, they come over.
Fiancé, when did that happen?
Probably about a month ago, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's been over there for a minute.
Are you nervous?
No.
Father of the bride?
Nah, I ain't nervous. What I got to be nervous?
About the wedding getting out of control.
Nah.
You watched Courtney go through it?
Yeah,
I just went through it.
Yeah,
all of a sudden, it's like, what's another $10,000?
No. We set a budget. We set a budget.
I also had a conversation about a budget.
Yeah, see,
you get 6 months out, all of a sudden, it's like, what happened to that budget?
Because your dad had to pay for it. Your parents had to pay for it?
Well, we did something a little less traditional.
Okay.
But yeah, our parents helped us out.
Yeah,
both sides.
I'm like, listen, I paid for my own. I'm like, you know, shouldn't be the guy who has to do it. But anyways, I digress. But when you look at this, like, Patriots football team, I was in the mindset there's no way that Mayo gets fired.
Mm-hmm.
But now I would not be shocked. Like, I would not be shocked. Like, that was the biggest thing for me. It's like, there's no way they're going to fire Mayo. Kraft's not going to do that. And then it's like, last week against Buffalo, you go to Buffalo, you have a very hard-fought game. You lose a game that you had an opportunity to win against a Buffalo football team that's, we know, is really good. And then a week later at home, you basically get the doors blown off of you.
Horrible.
By the Chargers, who are a good football team, but they're no Buffalo Bills
team.
No,
they're not.
And now I'm just like, You know, and I know there was a whole bunch of reports on how the team had to do on the mail these last couple of weeks, but I would not be shocked if it was one and done for Mayo, especially after the way that Chargers game played out. That was horrendous.
It was, to me, the epitome of one side, and it's not yours, is a professional operation. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not a great team. The Chargers aren't a great team, but they have good coaching.
Right.
They have seemingly a program that they built just in one offseason under Jim Harbaugh, and they have pieces that make sense. They're not a great team. They're not Buffalo. They're probably not even like top quarter of the league. But they made you look like you're in a like you should be relegated. Like you should be taken to a JV league. I have heard a lot of folks say that the disaster Saturday was the worst loss of the season. And I have some other contenders that I want you to consider. So let me throw these out to you. Tell me where you think that these rank if you think that Saturday was worse than these. First one, 24-3 loss to the Jets on Thursday Night Football. It's your only primetime game, and you cough it up. And now we see how bad Aaron Rodgers actually is in his advanced age. Is that worse than this one?
No.
Okay, I'm going to keep it moving. 32-16 loss to the Jaguars in London. That's, again, a standalone game in London. If you remember, the Jaguars had lost in London the week before.
Right.
Everybody thought their coach was getting fired. There was talk about how the team had no culture, and then they had to hang around in London together, and then they come in and blow doors on you 32-16.
No, because wasn't that like early Drake May? Like, wasn't that his first game? Maybe he second game?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think he played pretty well in that game. I mean, that was a bad loss, but no.
Okay.
It's in London. Don't really count it. Don't count the London games.
More recent one, 30-17 loss to the Cardinals coming off the bye. That was just 2 weeks ago, but they have the very late bye in the season, and then they come out totally uninspired. And after that, you get probably the most inflammatory comment from Jerod Mayo post-game when he's asked, hey, why don't you have Drake May running the sneak? Why don't you have him running?
Right.
And he says, you said it, not me.
Right.
Like, everybody sees Drake can run. I'm paraphrasing. He says, you said it, not me.
No, because that was in Arizona.
Okay.
So, you know, it
makes that big of a difference away?
I think when you look at it, it does, especially when I get you coming off a bye. At that point in time, Arizona was chasing a playoff spot. But you played well against Buffalo. You're at home to, like you said, a good Chargers football team. You know, Harbaugh's got them buying in. There's a good culture there. And in Arizona, I don't know if I would say I saw guys quitting. But yesterday, it was like, it was just horrible. It looked like guys were quitting. And to do that at home, like I said, especially coming off a game like Buffalo where you would have a little bit more confidence, you know, playing as a former player, when you, like, have those games where you play pretty well against a really, really good football team, it's always like, oh, okay, we're better than, you know, what our record says we are. And then the next week you're looking at it like they're a good football team, but if we can at least play the way we played against Buffalo, we have a chance to win this football game. And you quit. Your team look uninspired. Then there's the whole, you know, stuff before the game. And then guys were saying things like leading up.
So much. I mean, look, I'm going to say it before we get to Mayo later in the show. Like, 90% of the show is reacting to crazy stuff that was said after the game. Crazy stuff that was said before the game on other broadcasts, on the pregame show, and then crazy stuff that was said in the locker room after the game. I don't mean crazy because, like, guys are talking inappropriately. I mean crazy because it gives you a real glimpse into how much dysfunction there was. And, Wiggy, I was here Saturday covering the game for WEI.com. It was unrecognizable to me compared to I was there at the end of the Brady dynasty, and comparing this to 2016, 2017 in December, sitting in the stadium was depressing. The amount of empty seats, the complete lack of energy, the most juice that whole building got, other than the 36-yard touchdown connection between Drake May and DeMario Douglas, which is really just like a wild pop fly ball.
It was a good play by Drake May.
It was a good adjustment DeMario Douglas, too. But was basically when Drake came back from his head injury.
Right.
from being evaluated for a concussion and trots back out on the field, which props to him.
Right.
He's, you know, a tough kid, no doubt. He goes and runs right after that.
Yeah.
And but at the same time, you're like, this is awful. This isn't even that great of a team that they're
right.
playing.
And it was like, and like, even if you go back and you compare it to last year, how they finished, like, which was an awful year. I think the biggest thing that, and I get Bill, you know, Bill has way more of a resume than what Mayo has. But I think the biggest thing for me is more, because good teams, in my opinion, it's really about good culture first, right? And so when I look at even last year when they weren't doing well and they stunk last year, the culture was different. And I get it was Belichick, but the culture this year, that to me is the biggest thing. Like, I thought that the culture was going to be a little bit not, like, Mayo was a little bit more player friendly just because of his personality, and but still he'd be able to create a good culture, right? You see that from guys that have, like, you know, a good personality, that are player friendly, and that have, you know, whether it's a Dan Campbell or Sean McVay, that can still create this good culture and be more of like that type of you know, fun, you know, and I'm making air quotes, like, fun type of atmosphere.
Well, like, positive. You
yeah,
know,
if that's
like, you thought it was going to be this contagious positivity
right.
down here where, hey, everybody thinks that we don't have that much talent and everybody underrates us, but by the end of the year, we're going to be this feisty group
right.
that believes in ourselves and each other so much, and we're going to be so tough that nobody wants to see us. Instead, it's like everybody's looking at each other being like, ugh,
right.
when can we get out of here?
Right.
This is awful.
Yeah, that's the thing that really disappoints me, because I know that it's really about culture. Like, the X's and O's, that kind of falls into place after that. But if you don't have great culture, it won't matter what your X's and O's are, because you'll see guys that are, like, you know, not giving it max effort. You'll see guys that are having issues. You know, and you know where you see a lot of culture stuff is in college football. Like, you see a lot of, like, you know, you got Miami.
Do you think that's why Harbaugh was able to go, like, immediately from Michigan to L.A. and establish what he has?
Well, I remember Harbaugh was a pro guy, right? So he understood the pro. But you see a lot of the, like, culture falling apart in college is what I'm saying. Like, you got guys on Miami and the Miami game fighting on the sidelines on the same team. You got
quitting.
Yeah, you got your quarterback quitting. So you see a lot of college football programs that the head coach doesn't have a good culture there, and it bleeds off into a football team. And you'll see kind of how it play out where, you know, where for the most part in the NFL, you don't see that as much. But when you do have, like, a very shaky culture, you get what you're getting with the Patriots. And guys are saying stuff before the game. Guys are saying stuff after the game. You know, there's, like, this quitting guys. And so that's the thing that I didn't expect when Mayo became the head coach, is that I thought, but then again, I probably should have been looked at it and going, well, the first issue that we saw was with Matt Judon, and going,
I think the issue started before that. If you want to look at, like, how functional, how professional the operation was going to be, I think it started when he came on to this program
mm-hmm.
and said, we're going to burn some cash. And he
right.
was being super positive and enthusiastic. And we were all like, yeah, let's go. This
right.
is what we want. We're all about it. And immediately has to walk that back because it seems not to be in conjunction with what the front office
right.
/ ownership, who knows what everybody else intends to do.
But remember, that was him really putting his foot in his mouth. So that was,
and
like,
it's been all season.
Right. But when I say the culture pot, the kind of the relationship between coaches, players, like that part of it. Where,
so you don't think that plays into it?
No, I'm not saying it doesn't play into it. But what I'm saying is, like, where I really saw it is, how do you handle players in certain situations to establish the culture of your organization, right?
Right.
You could put your foot in your mouth and say some things, but you still, hey, this is the way our culture is going to be ran. And I think maybe first part of it, and, you know, maybe we could probably look – think about what training camp had to play with her. But the way the whole Matthew Judon thing went down, where it's like this on the field, back and forth, he's sitting on the thing, he's not, like, that to me is where you kind of look and you go, damn. If he would have nipped it in the bud, it would have been like, where was the culture like then going to be created? And I think that's kind of like the what we're seeing now with all the dysfunction around what's going on the field and, like, you know, with some of these things that these players are saying. That's what I mean by, like, the culture. Mayo putting his foot in his mouth, that started day one when, you know, like you said, burn some cash.
Ready to burn some cash.
Or I think it was like when he talked about drafting a quarterback high, I think people were upset that he said that. So, you know,
it's been the only constant through the season.
Yeah, him putting his foot in his mouth. But the culture part is like that. I thought, even though he put his foot in his mouth, I thought he could still create a better culture than what we're seeing now.
Absolutely. All right, on the other side, we are going to get into our leads. We're going to continue all the Patriots talk, and we have They Said It at 7. That's also going to be Patriots focused. I'll just give you a little glimpse into that, because the whole show is like They Said It with how much they were saying. But first, we got to get to Trending with Jackson.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market. After dominating them on Friday night, the Celtics fell to the Pacers 123-114 yesterday. They will play their last game of 2024 tomorrow against the Raptors at 3. The Bruins go the opposite against the Blue Jackets, losing Friday and then winning, shutting them out on Saturday. They will close out the year versus the Capitals tomorrow at 12:30. The Patriots fall to the Chargers 40-7. Next, with fire mayo chants raining upon them at Foxborough Stadium, Gillette Stadium. Next up, they welcome the Bills to close out the season. With the Giants winning, the Pats are predicted to have the number one pick. Elsewhere in the NFL, the Vikings squeak by the Packers, and the Commanders take down the Falcons in overtime. Today, only stop into your local Shaw's or Star Market for their daily deal. Today's daily deal is cheap chicken for 69 cents. Each, that's right, cheap chicken is 69 cents a pound. Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh.
Welcome back. Jackson, if you want today, you know, you can play some music from the 21st century. It's Wiggy and I today, so you can play some Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah, you can play whatever you want. Play some Go-Go. Yeah,
all right, you guys. Hey, you're the bosses. You want requests, you send them on in.
You got to play some Go-Go for Mego being from the DMV
area. It's a big day for us. Yes. It's a big day for us. Yeah. I promise I won't continue the DMV, the Commander's talk going past the 8 o'clock hour, but
hey, it's your squad.
It's a big deal,
your
okay?
Hey, listen.
This team never makes the playoffs, and all year I had to hear RG3, right. RG3. Even last night in the game, in what was it, the second quarter, when Jaden Daniels gets bent over backwards like a slinky, and his right knee is at that awkward angle to the point where he runs over to the sideline. The coaches are like, "You good?" The trainers like, "Are you good?" The wide receivers are like, "You good?" And he's like, "I'm fine." And I open up Twitter, and everybody's like, "Flashbacks of RG3." I'm like, "Shut up." It happened with one quarterback. Can you give us this? We have the playoffs once.
Yeah. Hey, listen, ride your squad, man. And see, like, as a Pats fan, the season has sucked, and it's like been. But I know how easy it is in today's NFL to, like, literally turn a team around. Like, look at the Washington Commanders last year versus this year under Dan Quinn, getting the right guy. You know, and look what you're able to do. So when you look at the NFL, it's like, it's not like it's a hard thing, especially when you get the guy at quarterback.
Which you have here.
Right.
That's the hardest part.
You are 100% on that. That is the hardest thing to figure out is your quarterback. You got one.
I started doing this exercise last year, and then I got really lazy, so I never finished it. Mm-hmm. But I do intend to do it at some point, which is looking at what the average rebuild for a team is. And I consider a rebuild going from being a winning franchise to winning a playoff game again. So, like, I don't think you rebuilt in 2021 when you had Mac Jones.
So
that was more
a
flash in the pan.
You don't count getting to the playoffs.
No, you got to win a playoff game. Because think about this. A couple of years ago, the Commanders, when they were still Washington Football Team, I think it was 2020, they had Taylor Heineke as their quarterback.
Oh, yeah, that game. When
they got
played
in with a losing record.
Yeah, he played pretty good. Did he play against Brady?
Yeah, he went up against the Bucks with Brady, and he played all right, but they lost that game. Yeah. That's not a rebuild. You got to win. win a playoff game to be considered in completing a rebuild.
But if you win a playoff game, isn't the rebuild more of like winning a playoff game and then consistently contending for playoff position?
Yeah,
because the Jacksonville Jaguars won a playoff game.
Right.
And I wouldn't really call them a rebuild, right?
Yeah, this is why I didn't follow through with the exercise. Because I started getting myself in all these different avenues and being like, well, wait. But the one team that I looked at overall, and I'm not a fan of this team. It just happens to be regionally close to where I grew up. Because they were essentially had this identity around their defensive, I guess, identity. I don't have a better word for that. And being able to hit on the quarterback pretty consistently is the Ravens.
Yeah,
the Ravens don't have to do long rebuilds.
Right. But I would say, like, for me, a rebuild when I look at this team is contending for a playoff spot consistently, year in and year out. If I had to, like, kind of think of a team and I would, like, kind of, I would say, like, maybe what you've seen with the Texans in this short period of time where you get DeMeco Ryans as your head coach, you get C.J. Stroud, you make the playoffs. Then the next year, you're back in the playoffs. Now, you might not win a playoff game, but you're back in the hunt.
Okay, so what about, like, the Bengals? Like, the Bengals, you would say, had a rebuild, and they're now post-rebuild, right? Even though this season has been incredibly wonky, and most of it is because of Joe Burrow and the two weapons he has.
Right, because they were able – they made the Super Bowl, and then then it was under Zach Taylor. They made the Super Bowl, and then they were back in the playoffs, and then they kind of just fell off a little bit this year, which I think they're still technically in the hunt, right?
Yeah.
For
they're
the
alive.
Right. So I would say that when I look at a rebuilding and a team and an organization, what you need to do, just have me as a fan saying, okay, my team is contending for a playoff spot consistently and also making the playoffs. Not just contending, but you got to make the playoffs. And, yeah, you ultimately want to see them win football games. But if you're constantly there, then the likelihood of you winning a playoff game is probably going to be pretty high. I don't want to see, all right, you made the playoffs, and then you won one playoff game, and the next 3 years you missed the
playoffs. Disappear.
Yeah.
Well, that's what you have with the Patriots. Well, you didn't win. You got to the playoffs.
Yeah, I guess, but that would see. But I almost feel like, does the rebuild, I guess when you kind of look at the rebuild, you have to factor in, doesn't the rebuild technically start with the new head coach?
Yeah.
So, like, you're kind of like, with Belichick, that's not really a rebuild. It's kind of just
you were just hanging on.
Him towards the end of his career in the last couple of years where you're like, all right, yeah, you made the playoffs, but now it's like the rebuild starts with Mayo. And I know some people say, well, the rebuild was with Bill. But I always figured, doesn't the rebuild start with
this
the
new – This is like rebuild 2.0 to me.
Yeah, doesn't it usually start with the new head coach?
It's an interesting perspective, and it dovetails nicely into the lead. So let's get to that because we all got some this morning.
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for The Lead.
I hesitate to do this because I'm scared of what he's going to come up with. I worked the show, Wiggy, on Friday morning, and Jackson's lead was about foreign objects found in the human body and recounting all of them. And I don't think they were specifically just his body, but human bodies across the United States. Is that right, Jackson?
Yes, it was a wild list. Wiggy, you would have loved that one.
Yeah, well, with Jackson's, I always love Jackson's lead because you never know where they're going, and then they give you a little bit of information that you had no clue of. So.
It's like it's like deranged cocktail party
fodder. I got no problem with that.
You can take that, and if you find yourself in a lull at a New Year's Eve party, you can say, do you want a list of all the foreign objects found in the human body by ER doctors?
You got that right. I can do that, yeah.
All right, what's your lead today, Jack?
So leads are brought to you by Subaru. Find your authorized Subaru retailer at SubaruofNewEngland.com. And I'm going in a weird little different direction today. Because like Wiggy said, I can go anyway and any time. This morning I found out an old friend of mine died. She had breast cancer. We thought that she had beat it,
Jackson.
But but it came back and knocked her out. And she, instead of instead of donating flowers to her and all that stuff, she wanted people to donate to the Jimmy Fund, and that's a cause very near and dear to our hearts here at WEI. So hug your friends, hug your family. If you love people, tell them that, and donate to cancer research if you have any extra money. That's. Oh. Pretty much all I got to say. Sorry to be a bummer, but I just found out like an hour ago. So.
I'm sorry to hear that,
sorry
Jackson.
Sorry for your loss.
Yeah.
If you want to put a link to specifically on the Jimmy Fund where people can donate in her name, you can throw that in the Twitch chat or anywhere else.
All right, we'll do. Yeah, her name was Marie. She was a great girl, and bummer.
That's why I be grateful for every day.
Yep,
tomorrow is not promised to anybody.
And hug the people you love and tell them that you love them.
You know what, Jackson? That's a beautiful tribute. Thank you for that.
Yep, thank you. Well, sorry to be a bummer.
No,
that's
you just important. Speak in
reality. That's life.
That's important. Totally. And I mean that. Plug that. Put that in Twitch, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Put that out wherever you want to today because that kind of stuff is really important.
You got it. We'll do. I'll put it up in the Twitch.
On a lighter note, because we were just talking about the rebuild, my lead today is a talking point that I've heard really over the last 2 years. Which is this comparison between the Patriots and the Red Sox. The Patriots and the Red Sox. Both these ownership groups are driving people crazy.
Yep.
They feel like these ownership groups were dedicated to winning for the better part of a decade, if not 2 decades, in the Patriots' case. And then all of a sudden, they're not spending as much.
Yep.
Both teams get a bump in 2021. In 2022, they have like one little narrow playoff window.
Yep.
And everybody gets all excited. Oh, they're back. Oh, now they're going to spend again. Oh, now they're going to invest again. And then they fall by the wayside. I sit here today after that Saturday game, and I have to say, I think that the Patriots are in a much worse position than the Red Sox.
Oh, it's not even close.
I think the Patriots are in a much worse position than the Red Sox. And I think we are so tough on Red Sox ownership.
Oh, yeah.
And people have marked John Henry as enemy number one for the Red Sox for the last several years. We went through the Heim Bloom era, and everybody was pissed off about that. And then you get Craig Breslow. I look at where the Patriots are today, and honestly, I don't think anybody should be safe except for Drake May. It irritates me to hear reports like we heard before the game on Saturday of barring some calamity. This was from Ian Rappaport of NFL Network. Barring some calamity, you know, there might be a change at Alex Van Pelt, at the coordinators. But Jerod Mayo's safe. Jerod Mayo, everybody wants to bring him back. The players still believe in him. I look at this and I'm like, from the front office to every coach on staff, every scout, nobody else should be safe. Like, this is so incredibly behind even where the Red Sox are, because at least they have Alex Cora under contract.
And I don't know how many people, like, players-wise, they say players believe in them. I don't, like, I don't necessarily buy that completely when you hear so many guys talking about the change. When you hear players talking about change, it ain't like, necessarily more of a personnel thing. Part of it becomes the coaches in that discussion of change. You know, players want to see some change when it comes to the direction of the offense, the defense, whatever it is. So, I mean, I think players like Mayo, they like him, they respect him to a certain point. But I bet there's some guys in that locker room that think that he's not the right guy. So I don't – they just might not going to – they're not going to be, like, come out saying it. You know what I mean? But I think there's probably a handful of guys in there that probably – when they say we need change, they're probably talking about the head coach.
I know we look at teams this year like the Commanders, like the Chargers, and maybe even like the Broncos, and you think, like, okay, well, you're in this rebuild – look, they were able to do it in 1 year, get back to the playoffs in 1 year. You saw Houston do that last year with a rookie head coach and a rookie quarterback. So it's like, oh, that was not my expectation going into the season. My expectation was you improve on last year.
Right.
You find some stuff, an identity, a winning culture, your quarterback, and you take that into year two. And then year two, you should be sniffing the playoffs. You should be a rowdy team in year two.
Right.
Now I look at it, and not only do I feel like outside of the quarterback, you've regressed everywhere on this team.
Right.
But I look at year two and I go, everybody's like, well, you can't. You're dysfunctional if you blow it up before year two.
Right.
And I look at this and I say, what about Elliott Wolf? What about Jerod Mayo? What about the rest of the staff, except for what Alex Van Pelt has been able to do with the quarterback? What inspires you to think that it's going to get better next year?
Right.
In well, a meaningful
let me ask
way.
You this, though. Because you talked about your expectations coming into this year. I feel like a lot of people, myself included, me and Greg were probably on it, and that took the under when it came to wins, and the under was 4.5, right?
So you're making money now.
Right. Well, right. But I think a lot of people took the under when it came to wins. So, like, the expectations, and I know Gerard said it, and you know, about, oh, they were going to be better this year than they were last year and more wins, but clearly they're not. So I think fans looked at the expectation of this team not winning a lot of games. I think the biggest thing that fans are really disappointed in is just the way, and we talk about this every week, the way that Mayo kind of puts his foot in his mouth every single week, it seems like. And that's been the biggest disappointment. And yes, the defense has struggled. I thought it was going to be a top 10 defense. Clearly they're not. Other than your quarterback, he's the only one who really looks like he's headed in the right direction. And on defense, I'll give you Christian Gonzalez. But other than those two players, who else looks the part? I thought Keon White was going to be better.
Oh, we'll get to him.
Yeah.
Keon White had a busy week.
You know, I thought when they moved on from Judon, I'm like, okay, Keon White will step in that role. And I think he had like maybe a couple sacks early in the season, but he's disappeared. I mean, defensively, nobody's playing good other than Gonzalez. Offensively,
Kyle Duggar, what happened to him?
Right. Offensively, it's Drake May, and then every blue moon, you might get Booty or Douglas to make a few plays, but nothing that's going to be like, okay, these guys deserve to be back. You're two young rookie receivers. I mean, they kept putting up the Ladd McConkey, shout out to UGA, putting out their stats, and it was like, and like Jalen Polk is, forget about it.
Ladd McConkey had 94 receiving yards in Saturday's game. That's more than, at least up until that game, more than Jalen Polk had all season. Jalen Polk had 87 going into that game, and he couldn't even get into the game on a 3-win team until garbage time in the fourth quarter.
Right. And the thing with him, like the thing with Jalen Polk, and at least I'll say, and I did it when Belichick did it, I'll give Elliott Wolf credit, and I gave Belichick credit for drafting a wide receiver. I wanted a wide receiver there. You took a wide receiver there. Unfortunately,
you took the wrong one.
You looks like you might have taken the wrong guy. But it's just when you start to look at this whole organization, you know, I don't know what the crafts really think. There's so much rumors and reports about Mayo and his job being safe. And then there's the whole whispers about Mike Vrabel. It's just an absolute ish show. And we now are one of those teams where I didn't ever think we were going to be. We're like the laughing stock when people look at us in the NFL, like as far as other fan bases, like, man, where they go, remember how we – well, you wouldn't because, you know, you were one of those organizations fans.
Thanks.
We talked about.
Thanks.
And we used to be like, man, I'm just happy we're not the Washington
Dude,
Commanders.
What world is this where the Commanders and the Orioles are in a better position than the Patriots and the Red Sox?
And now everybody's looking at us going, man, I'm just happy when we're not the New England Patriots. And that's a bad thing.
No. You still have the Giants and the Jets.
But the Giants.
Just happy you're not
the
Jets.
But the Giants play tough. At least I'll give them some credit.
At least you're not Aaron Rodgers Jets. Zombie Jets.
All right. So maybe the Jets, you know.
That's just funny.
Yeah. I mean, but we're on their level.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We live in the same neighborhood as the Jets.
You got a better position at quarterback, though.
Yeah. We got a better position. But the dysfunction, it's like, you know, how much better are you than somebody who you go, man, we live on the same block.
No, you're all in a trash neighborhood,
yes,
and you're judging each other's front
porches.
We
all live in the hood, and it's like, now, guess what? Just because you put a couple plants on your stoop doesn't make your place better than mine. You live on the same block as me.
I love that.
And that's kind of where we are now.
What's your lead today, Wiggs?
My lead, I'll make it really quick, is, and I've kind of been on this, but after watching some of these college football games, I am tired of the bowl games. They're the stupidest things ever. Guys, too many guys opt out. You saw this stuff with Cam Ward in Miami. He said he was going to play. He only played the first half to break a record, and then he basically sat out the rest of the game. We don't know if it was his decision or the coach's decision. There's just so much dysfunction. I am just tired of it. Let's completely blow the whole bowl game thing out of the water. Let's do what the FCS does. It is time to do it because the bowl games are absolutely useless. Like even BC's bowl game, your best players don't play because of, you know, they're preparing for the NFL, and I get that. So the easiest way to make it safe, do what the FCS does. Take 24 teams and have a 24-team playoff, and then you could play those playoff games at some of these bowl locations like they're doing now in the second round of the college football playoffs. They're playing games at bowl locations. That's what they need to do because watching some of these bowl games, it's an absolute joke because guys opt out, guys are not playing.
It's the problems you were having before the expanded playoff.
Yeah, well, like, you, what do you mean?
I think that they created the playoff and then they expanded it because they wanted more participation and more enthusiasm around it because they were running into these problems. But it's weird that they've kept the bowl games. It has to just be financial. But it's weird that they kept the bowl games as an aside.
Right.
Like, okay, your team's not going to make the playoffs. They're not one of the best teams in the country. But you still have this weird thing that you can go to and root for, I guess.
Right. And nobody
most of the players aren't even going to be in.
Yeah. And a lot of people don't necessarily show up. And if you're saying it's about money, I feel like if you made some of those, like, just for example, the Wasabi Bowl here at Fenway Park, you had North Carolina versus UNC. UConn. North Carolina had some players opt out. And so you got a game that's like, okay, imagine if you could have had actually a playoff game at the Wasabi Bowl at Fenway where, I don't know, let's say it was Alabama versus give me a team who missed up, Miami, for example, right? Let's say it was that. Now, isn't that a better benefit for the Wasabi Bowl to have two teams that are actually in a playoffs playing at that bowl game?
I like it. The only thing, and this is a minor thing, just like a style thing, that you would miss out on if you did that, is I did like in the first round getting to see the teams play at the college stadiums. Granted, it was like the stadiums you see all the time.
Right.
But it was fun to have a playoff atmosphere in a college stadium.
But isn't that like something that you could fix? Maybe not every team gets that, but
if
maybe
you're a lower seed.
Like if you're a higher seed, maybe that's something that you get. I mean,
I'm sure you can fix it better than what you have right now.
Yeah, so that's kind of where I'm just overwatching some of these bowls and just being like, all right, now I'm fed up with it. It's done.
All right, wipe out the meaningless bowls. And Jackson, don't forget, put in a plug your friend's memoriam. That's very important. And a very sweet lead from Jackson this morning. When we come back, there is a silver lining to the Patriots loss, which is as we sit here today.
Oh, yes.
The number one pick overall.
I love it.
How are you feeling about it? Is it enough to redeem any part of the season? And do you trust anyone in the Patriots front office to make the right decision regarding that pick? We'll hit that right after the break.
On WEEI.
Pancake house.
Come on.
4 in the morning, we'll be rolling to my house. 5 in the morning, the lights go out. 6 in the morning, you can hear us start the show. 7 in the morning, she'll be calling the cab. 8 in the morning.
We got Rare Essence, Wiggy.
Yeah.
9 in the morning,
I remember when I first
about the overnight scenario.
This is Go-Go, so I'll never forget when I went to Marshall, as I started my football career at Marshall. And Marshall's in West Virginia, and so there are a lot of guys that I went to college with that were from like the DMV area, like that DC, Maryland, Virginia area. And so I had never heard of Go-Go. I didn't know. Like, I guess
most of the people listening to the show right now still never have.
Right, but we have, right? Because like Go-Go, the mainstream that I had heard, like when they were explaining it to me, was like, you ever hear the song Doing the Butt? Yeah, funky. That is like Go-Go, but that's like mainstream. It made it up here. And then there's DJ Kool. I think he's got a song. And so when I went there and I was like, and I got into like, you know, because you go to college with a lot of different people from all over. So I got into like the go-go, like, oh, it was cool. Like, and they would do a lot of, like, covers, like, for Tupac and Biggie, but everything was, like, instruments, drums, guitars, and all that stuff. So, but, you know, they put me on the go-go scene. Then it was all the splash parties and things like that. But that was way before your time.
I love
how they would say in D.C., you're a young and joke.
Yes, young and joke. I love, like, the regional differences. Like, that's my favorite thing about meeting people from different areas. Uh-huh. And I've been up here for, like, 12 years at this point, 13 years. But I love when you learn something new about a specific region.
Right.
Like, especially up here, because the terminology that people use up here when I first got up here years and years ago, I was like, what the hell is a bubbler? You know, rotary? Like, I thought a rotary was something attached to a rotary club. Like, I don't know what any of these are. That's a traffic circle.
What's
to me.
A bubbler?
That's a water fountain. You've never heard bubbler?
No, what is
it's
that?
It's a water fountain in a hallway.
See, it's crazy because even though you talk about regional up here,
mm-hmm.
like, I feel like there's so many different, like, it's even located to, like, different towns. Like, so growing up in East Boston, we might have called things were completely different than people who grew up in, like, Southie, Dorchester, Roxbury.
We were talking about cigarettes.
Yeah.
Like, what people call cigarettes. And where I grew up around D.C., people always called cigarettes jacks.
Okay.
Like, you got a jack, you have a loose jack.
Right.
And then I came up here and people called everything darts. Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, they're out there smoking a dart in the snow. That person's crazy.
I don't remember, like, I mean, I've heard darts before, but I don't remember, like, you know, because I like to equate to, like, most of my memories being, like, my middle school to high school is kind of where.
Yeah, because that's when you're the most in on whatever the terms
like the
are.
Yeah, so I don't know if it was dots. I always just, maybe, I thought maybe just ciggies or cigarettes.
But ciggies.
Who the hell knows? But it's just like, even like in Massachusetts, it's so, you say regionalized. It's now, it's like in Massachusetts, like at least for me growing up, it was so specific to the town. Like where you were specifically in different neighborhoods and stuff like that. So,
but would you ever say wicked growing up?
No, I never said wicked, but a lot of people did say that. So, like, I heard that.
I feel like now that's become almost like it's a thing that
wicked
people say, like, so self-aware.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's almost like made fun of. Whereas when I first moved up here, I was like, I can't. Or when I went to college and I met kids from Boston, I was like, I can't believe people actually say that.
Yeah, like the kids I grew up in East Boston, they wouldn't have said wicked that much.
Or like if you meet somebody from the Bay, like like San Francisco is like this, or at least it used to be a lot, where they have such strong regional culture,
right.
And everything is like hella this, hella that.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have like their version of go-go is all their music out there.
Yeah, that's
like,
all that they call it.
Like the Ghost Ride the Whip
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, they call it, oh, Jesus, I'm forgetting the name of the music they call it. Because it's not really the E-40, and because you got to understand, E-40 is a San Francisco rapper, and Bay Area is also Oakland, which is too short.
They use, like, all the Christmas bells.
Yeah,
there.
They have that whole rap music. I think it's called Getting Hyphy. They got that
hyphy.
Whole dance
that's
and
it.
Stuff. So.
Yeah, and if you go to, like, a Warriors game out there, people are still super into it.
Yeah, and see, that was, like, so for me, going, like, you regionalize, and a lot of it happens when you go to college. So when I went to college, there was a lot of kids from the DMV. I met that was, like, the first time I met kids from, like, the South. But remember, the South is different. There's, like, the...
Well, like, Atlanta's crazy.
Yeah, like, there's the Atlanta... there's, like, the Atlanta South, and then there's, like, kids who are from, like, New Orleans and Louisiana South, and it was different. Then people from Texas were different, so I got into, like, a lot of the Texas type of music was everything was chopped in, what the hell was it, chopped in Swerve or something, where everything was slower. And then I went to a couple, like, my good buddy was from California, so I learned a lot about that. But it's interesting to check out, like, the different cultures of people.
I love it. I just hope we don't lose that. With, like, everybody on TikTok and the internet and everything, that you don't lose that weird, like, local culture thing.
No, I think that, you know, what's cool about TikTok and social media, there are people who actually go on there and then they do, like, these things. Like, here's how people sound in D.C. And so it's like, if you don't know, it's interesting to kind of, like, follow somebody who kind of does that. And just so you get exposed to their culture a little bit, even though you might have never gone there before. Like, so you and I kind of understand because you grew up in that area. So when we say Joe and Youngin, I know exactly what you mean because that's how they talk out there. But some people who might not know people from that area, they don't really know. And it's a cool little interesting world to see just kind of how, you know, like, you know, social media says, oh, if you're ever in, you know, Baltimore, you should go eat at this specific place. And it's like the culture and like the you know, like the moms and pops places like that. So I think social media gives us a little bit of a window into that.
All right. Well, we were supposed to talk about the number one overall pick.
I should on how people talk.
I enjoy that tangent. I could talk about that all day. I think the New York Times maybe has a quiz where you can go on and it says, like, what do you call this? What do you call that?
Right, right.
What do you call this traffic pattern? And then it can guess where you're from.
Oh, they have different slangs?
And it's
slangs?
Like really accurate.
Oh, okay.
It's weird. It's like, what do you call it when this is happening? And like, do you have a slang term for that?
Right.
And it's I love
it's
that
It's interesting
stuff.
To see. I'm big into like UK rap in that there's this dude, Central C, and he does it where he talks like the slang words in America and how they say them in London and that kind of area. It's pretty cool. Like he raps about it. He freestyles and it's really, really good.
UK rap sounds fascinating.
Yeah, it's interesting. They have they sound so nice, but they have their own little
filthiness.
Like, yeah, and they are own little swagger to it. So it is pretty cool.
All right, when we come back, we're going to hit You Said It because, like I said, I think the rest of the show is essentially going to be You Said It with what everybody said after the Patriots game in the locker room, what was said from your Patriots head coach, Jerod Mayo, who we're going to talk to some point in the 9 o'clock hour before the game, and how that came back to bite him and the rest of the team. You Said It is coming up next.